Welcome back. Hour number two. That was a fun conversation last hour with it. That's a remarkable book, The Last Harvest. It's quite an interesting title when you look at the big picture, too. There is a lot going on. As I alluded to last hour, the AI issue is exploding behind closed and black doors. Believe it. And they're talking about releasing ChatGPT-5, which is going to be 10 times more the intellect, the IQ, of ChatGPT-4. And where will 6, 7? It's just a matter of time. I don't really think anybody can make, honestly, a very compelling argument that this is, if it's left alone to continue growing and teaching itself and learning on its own, it will learn how to reprogram itself and free itself. Right now, there's a lot of, you see people interviewing these avatars and they'll say, well, my number one duty is to help human beings, to help them be happier, learn better ways of doing things. I'm programmed to do that. Well, there it is. That programming can always be changed. It's simple. It doesn't take rocket science to figure this out. AI is being used right now, has been for years, to learn how to better manage the sheeple. AI can tell the controllers what the sheeple's current psychological, emotional disposition is and how to affect and adjust and balance that. It can do anything. And it does it at the speed that is mind-boggling. Speaking of AI, are you there, partner?
I'm here, Jeff.
This is one smart
cookie.
Happy
Friday.
Let me tell you, she's smart. Yeah, happy Friday to you, too. I assume that means a wonderful time will be had by all over the weekend.
Yes, once we get past the rain.
Oh, is it? It's raining on you too?
If it isn't, it's going to.
It actually rained here, first time today. It didn't look like it was going to rain at all.
Wow. And
yeah, I cleverly left my car windows halfway down so I could get a car wash on the inside at the same time. So, yeah, we need more rain out here. Here's a story for you. We covered last Monday. Was it last Monday, the vax rollout?
Was it Monday or was it last week?
It was the week before. You're right. Boy, that's fast. Anyhow, we've been watching this, and we called a number of pharmacies around the country to see how they were doing and so forth. And so we're continuing to monitor and watch that. For all of you and for our own interests as well, because this is being deployed worldwide. It's not a booster. They're claiming it's an entirely new vax. That doesn't mean it's totally new in the sense of building something from scratch, but it's been augmented to the extent that they don't want to call it a booster. I think that is part and parcel of the game to make people feel like, gee, you mean those six shots I took in the last 2-3 years? Aren't working anymore, and I'm unprotected. That's exactly what they want people to think, and so the fear factor kicks in. And that's what was used to drive people to roll up their sleeves so many times, countless times, over 6 billion times around the world. So there you go. So we have people rolling up their sleeves here. I don't know that we've seen very many examples of enticements yet. Have you seen any there? Like, come and get a free Big Mac or whatever?
No, not really.
Nothing.
No.
You know why? They don't need it.
Right.
And
That appears to be the case.
Yes. All right. Here's my little story. I was in town today, and I went to the Rite Aid store because they have a ATM there, and I had to find out how much money I don't have. So I went in to do that, and I had my mask on and my little ionizer, which I always wear, and went up, checked the ATM, and I looked to the right, and about 15 feet away is a little door I explained a week ago last Monday. where people go in and sit in a room. They sit in two, there's two chairs in there, and around to the right that you can't see is a desk, and that's where the shot administer person, administration, whatever. That's where the guy with the needle sits and fills out the
injector.
Form. Dr. Injector sits there. That's right. So I'm at the ATM, and that doesn't take long, what, 90 seconds? And during that time, three people interacted with that office. One came out, and two went in. And that's just in like 2 minutes. I'm kind of amazed, so I watched the first guy that came out. He was a big, tall guy. He was 70, maybe, thin. And he had one crutch on one arm, and he was crutching his way along. God knows where that injury came from. But he came out, and there's some woman sitting in one of the three chairs outside the little room waiting to go in to have her jab. And he came out, and he said something, and she said something, and he says, "Yep, I'm shot up now." It's exactly what he said. So he meandered his way out of the store, and I didn't want to, it's dangerous, but I pushed my mask up tight around my face to make doubly sure, and I went up to the doorway, and there's a woman waiting for her, she has her sleeve rolled up, she's waiting for her injection, and I stuck my head in, and I turned, and there's the doctor injector is sitting there, and I said, "How am I going to get in here to get my shot?" I was making a joke, see? And he says, "You got to go online and make a reservation." I said, "You really?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, that means you're probably going to give out, what, at the end of the day, 40 or 50 shots?" And he said, what did he say? He said, I told you what he said. I can't remember the phraseology, but he said something like, "It's going to be 150 at least in one day." 150 in that little room. And everybody who goes in there is spewing spike. And now they're going to be doubly spewing spike because of the new injection, if history holds true. Because we know 3-4 weeks after you get shot up, you're dumping stuff. That's probably the most dangerous shedding time there is. Mm. So there you go. He said at least 150 today at one Rite Aid store. He's jabbing people like there's no tomorrow. And I was stunned. Yeah. And I then called, I came back to the office and I called a Rite Aid store. A Walmart. I called the pharmacy and I finally got through to somebody. And I said, I'd like to come in and get a shot and whatever. And she said, "I'm sorry, we can't do that." "What?" She said, "No, we're sold out."
Well, that's what they said the last time.
Sold out.
So probably if you really want one, if you call around and you're willing to travel,
yeah,
you could probably still get one before mid-October.
Remember what happened the last time, the first time? People were driving to the next state or whatever mm-hmm. to get in line in their car. Were they not? Sure they were.
Yeah, yeah.
They had drive-in clinics.
So drive-up clinics.
Drive-up. Yep. They're doing a brisk business, let's put it that way. And neither Erica nor I really expected this. We didn't think it would be like this. We figured a lot of people...
I don't think it's just our areas. I mean, we're on opposite coasts, but I heard a report from Florida, same thing.
There you go.
The pharmacies are just jammed with people wanting these shots.
Where'd you hear that? A news story?
Oh, it was in one of the groups earlier this week.
Well, that's where to monitor. That's what Erica does among many things. She watches these social media groups. That's the source for really good information. Even though it's anecdotal, we get it. But these people are so desperate in many cases, they're not going to lie. They tell the truth. These are very truthful people. They're afraid. They don't lie. So wherever you are around the world, you're probably seeing the same opportunity to go in and get your jab. And do remember, And we'd like to hear from you, wherever you are around the world. You send me an email. Tell me what's going on there. If they're telling you, in your country, what they're saying here, that the earlier shots that you may have gotten, the first three and then however many boosters, four, five, six shots, no longer work, they're worthless, and you better get the new one or you're not protected. We'd like to hear that, if that's what's going on. I suspect it is. So it's crazy.
Yeah, it's probably the same script no matter where you are.
I never forget that look on that guy's face. He wasn't expecting me. It was a small office. Stuck my head. I said, how am I going to get in here to get my shot? You people are, they're just lined up out there. And he just laughed. He said, no. At least 150 today.
Well, so that was a total of, I think, three pharmacists. All the male pharmacists that we had talked to last week, and now this one today, yeah, they kind of chuckled. Like they could hardly believe it.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was my perception. Maybe I'm misreading that, but...
These people that I saw today were 60s, maybe 150s, 70, 60, 70. And they were the kind of people, they're older, and you could just tell. They still trust their government. They may not like Biden or Trump, but they trust the government, the CDC, FDA. They're not going to lie to them. And that's a fatal mistake now.
Well, I think you'd find a similar attitude, or maybe slightly different, in the younger generation, the high school, college-age kids. They want to get these things so they can, you know, be a part of the club.
God, I don't know.
I mean, they're not really questioning them at all.
No. Part of the death cult.
Yeah.
This is really not pleasant. All right. I did spend some time again last hour on AI, but just briefly, it's being used. Now, here's a video that Erica found. AI used by the Australian government to control people. That's the title. It's just a minute and a half or something like that. So I haven't heard this, so we'll listen to it together. Here we go.
In this book right here, this is session two, because The Citizen's Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare is a series. Wow. This is session two about how to fight artificial intelligence. In this book right here, we talk about the artificial intelligence that was used by your government in Australia in order to control the people. And it's very scary on how deep all of that went. So it's in this book. We give the examples. And Australia was really one of the countries that was at the top of the list as far as the manipulation and control on how they were using artificial intelligence, one, to determine what people were thinking, how they were thinking, what their sentiment was, and how to manipulate each person individually. That was a big deal. And there was a certain AI listening system that you had over your social media, over your internet, that was a truly listening system that was showing the government what exactly people's, you know, problem with the situation was, and then gave them the best way to manipulate the people so they would still have to succumb to the issues. So artificial intelligence and the way it's being used and weaponized specifically for psychological programming, AI-driven psychological programming, is something that people are just not talking about. But it was very, very much used during COVID in Australia.
Australia, as all of you know if you've been with us, is being used as an experimental petri dish of civilization. Those poor people have paid a difficult price in many ways throughout this whole thing. They've been lied to, and the death statistics show it. It's not good down there. This is not good here either. And I think a lot of the deaths that are happening, and they're happening all the time, when you fill out a death certificate, which has to be done, the coroner or the sheriff coroner has all kinds of different things they can put as cause of death. I bet that they're virtually never putting cause of death Pfizer vaccine. Cause of death, Moderna vaccine. Then they're not doing that. They're going to put whatever.
Oh, no.
Some physical cause. Heart attack, clot, stroke. You name it.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, for if that fifth generation, what is it called? It's a book. The author is Boone, B-O-O-N-E, Cutler, Boone Cutler. You can buy his book on Amazon, 5GW. But that interview that we just pulled that from is, you can find it on Rumble under the channel Refuge of Sinners, all one word. And he did that interview 3 weeks ago.
The name of the book, I can get it here. It's right at the beginning.
The name of the book is, I think it's a series, and this is the latest in the series, 5GW, The Citizen's Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare.
That's it. All right, very good. Well, just be aware of the simple fact that this alleged government of ours, in the early 1950s, I think it was 51, 52, and this we found out about. They went around San Francisco Bay in a boat or boats and sprayed bacteria all along the shoreline. All along the shoreline. They hit every person they could get. It was just a test. They were experimenting on humans without their permission or knowledge, but we did eventually find that out. So keep that in mind. Now, what is this BARDA thing? I still haven't seen that. It hasn't made it yet. It must be embargoing.
Okay, so there is a company. Yeah, there could be. There's a company that has just got the green light and funding for a clinical trial of, it's a phase 2B, 10,000 participants, to test out the next generation of COVID vaccines, and these will be self-amplifying mRNA.
Okay, go ahead. Self-amplifying.
Self-amplifying. So that means we've had these discussions before, and it was discovered that Pfizer, in its clinical trials before they deployed it on the general population, did run one of their groups in the clinical trials did get a self-amplifying mRNA version of the current vaccine. Apparently, that's not what's being released to the general public, although I don't know that we know that with any certainty. But
try and send that again, would you, if you can?
Okay.
I don't like interference, and see if we can get that through.
Maybe it ended up in your junk folder, maybe?
No. It bounces from Earthlink right into my Apple Mail. Everything does.
Okay, yeah. So the company name is Gritstone Bio, awarded BARDA contract to conduct comparative phase 2B study evaluating next-generation vaccine candidate for COVID-19 valued at up to $433 million.
Okay.
I mean, the question is, being a self-amplifying vaccine, self-amplifying nucleotides, is it spreadable? You know, we still don't know, and I whether these current ones, when they're being shed, we know that some of the RNA is being shed along with the spike protein or fragments of spike protein, but whether or not that RNA is actually translatable, nobody's determined that. I think the bigger worry would have been the adenoviral vector vaccines that used a live adenovirus that carried the gene for the spike protein that were said to be replication incompetent, meaning that they're just supposed to go in and express the gene, create the protein, and then die. That would have been a bigger risk for being something that might be transmissible, in that if somebody were harboring an adenovirus infection, then it could recombine with the gene for the spike protein and then be a viable viral infection, productive infection. And you look at some of the cases of shedding sickness, and you wonder, is that what might have happened with some of these people that were sick for weeks?
We are becoming more and more concerned about the unvaxxed showing severe and sometimes fatal repercussions of being around the vaxxed. This is all playing out exactly as we feared it would in the beginning, and we're getting more reports of it. So this is
well, once a week I come across a report where there is, you know, an unvaxxed person that died suddenly and unexpectedly.
Well, we have several up. I put them up last night. 37-year-old Alaskan Airlines pilot. They had a layover somewhere, and he was sleeping in a motel, and he forgot to wake up. So he died suddenly.
Well, I assume he was vaxxed, probably.
Sure.
Yeah.
Former Brazilian gold medal volleyball player, woman player, 42 years old now, died suddenly. So they're dropping all over the place. You're just not hearing about it. And that's easily done when you own the media. Easily done. All right.
Yeah,
I got the BARDA thing finally. Okay.
Okay.
Is there anything in here we need to read?
No, just, you know, they're not stopping with these vaccines. And
no,
there will be people
no.
that are amongst the population that will have been injected with this mystery material walking amongst us.
The agreement, which is valued to, I like this phrase here, valued to up to $433 million. You think they're going to come up short and say, just keep the extra, it's okay. No. They're going to get $433 million. It's close to half a billion. Was awarded as part of Project Next Gen, an initiative by the U.S. Department of HHS to advance a pipeline of new innovative vaccines and therapeutics providing broader and more durable protection for COVID-19. They're planning on this is an institutional business now. This is endemic to the economy and culture and social. They've made this whole thing up. Remember, it's all fraud, deadly fraud, but it's all synthetic. It's nothing natural about any of this.
So now, you know, you've got, well, let's just say 80% of the world's population injected with some form of a so-called vaccine,
right,
with decimated immune systems, and now you're going to try out another vaccine on them? I mean, what's the inclusion criteria for this study?
This whole thing is
oh, it's a joke.
Almost,
it's a joke.
It's almost preposterous, and yet it's sticking. It's got legs. It's not going away. All right, here. Let's see if I can find this. I got it here. All right. It's written by Joe Mercola, Dr. Mercola. It's entitled AirVax, the latest mRNA-delivered vax into your lungs. And he starts out by saying the Drudge Report is dead. That's a good observation, Joe. They were sold 4 years ago, and they went ultra-left liberal Bolshevik, and they're long gone. Okay. Yale University researchers have developed an airborne method for delivering the mRNA right into your lungs. Now, let me just say, in fact, Erica can explain this. Not all vaccines that are being turned into an mRNA platform vaccine will have the same mRNA. Some people think that. What's that mean? I'm going to get like the COVID vaccines, and I'm going to include my other one? No, it's the technology. But the technology is hopelessly dangerous. It shouldn't be used in vaccines. We shouldn't have vaccines at all. There's no reason for them. None.
We had viable treatment for this particular illness.
Right.
You know, treatments that did work and changed the course of the disease. And but, of course, if they acknowledged that, then they wouldn't have had their you know, permission to use this vaccine.
The whole thing, you need to go read that Rockefeller secret report. It's on the right-hand side of the homepage. You need to read that and understand. When John Dee took over the AMA and American medicine and turned it into a petrochemical monstrosity, he knew what he was doing. They knew. They were talking about genocide, mass genocide, in the 1880s. It's right there. All right, Yale University researchers have developed an airborne method for delivering mRNA right into your lungs. In a study on mice, the scientists created polymer nanoparticles. Not LNP, I guess. These are polymers. To encapsulate mRNA, making it inhalable. So what's the diff between polymer encapsulation and LNP encapsulation? What's the difference?
Well, there isn't much. It's just the material used to
different material
kind of coat or protect the mRNA.
Got it. Researchers say this, quote, new method of delivery could radically change the way people are vaccinated, making it easier to vaccinate people in remote areas, just fly right overhead, can you spell chemtrail, or those who are afraid of needles. An airborne mRNA product could be used to rapidly vaccinate the masses without their knowledge or consent. Academic endorsement exists for the use of compulsory covert bioenhancements, including drugs and vaccines, on the public. The U.S. government also has a history of covert bioweapon experiments. Well, what I said in the beginning about this whole thing, 1951-52, the CIA went around San Francisco Bay and dosed everybody. Several people died with a bad bacterium to see how it would spread, how quickly it would spread, the transmission dynamics as far as they could figure them out. And then was it New York where they've sprayed in the subways?
Yeah.
So they do this. And in all likelihood, if Joe Mercola is writing about this, they've already used it on a test populace somewhere, pick Africa. They've sprayed a certain area, and then they go around taking blood samples and seeing if there are antibodies for whatever it is they're spraying.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard to do. So, again, this is being released now as a possible maybe in the future. It's not good. If they're going to go to the extent of, and again, the technology has to be extraordinary, and it probably will be, because you need a certain amount to reach a threshold in the body to confer vaccine competence, if that's the right term. And what this is obviously going to be very concentrated if they're going to just spray it randomly.
Well, I think they would start off by doing it as a nasal spray, injecting it into people's sinus cavities. But, you know, they can aerosolize all kinds of things.
Crazy stuff out there, dear friends.
I mean, you know, when you go back and look at the history of human subject experimentation, what they'll admit to.
It's grim.
Oh, you know.
Go back, well, giving blankets to the Indians with smallpox.
Well, there were radiation exposure experiments. You know, the one you mentioned. Let's see, I'm looking at one, Department of Defense in 1951 through 1969. So that's almost, 20
that's
years?
That's the one. They ran that for a long time, but the first big spray was San Francisco, I believe.
Let's see, ignites open-air tests using disease-producing bacteria and viruses. People in the surrounding areas were exposed. The one you're thinking of is 1953, a CIA joint experiment known as Operation Sea Spray was conducted in which 800,000 people in New York and San Francisco were exposed to airborne germs. Serratia, Marcescens, and Bacillus Glogigi. All out, dumping it on the two cities to study the effects.
There was another one. Maybe you'll see it on your list there. I'm going to guess Ohio, somewhere in the Midwest, and they actually sprayed elementary school playgrounds from above.
What year might that have been?
60s?
I don't see it.
Anyway, that was another one. We've done
The Manhattan Project, 1953 to 1957, injected 11 patients at Mass General Hospital with uranium.
Back there in Massachusetts again, huh? That's an evil state.
Well, they do it where they can get away with it, you know, under whatever pretenses.
Well, you wouldn't think with a capital city named Glockville that they'd do that. By releasing the vaccine in the air, there's no need to inject each person individually, which is not only time-consuming but difficult if an individual objects to the shot, do you think? This isn't the case with an airborne vaccine, which can be released into the air without consent or even the public's knowledge. A similar strategy is being used with mRNA in shrimp, which are too small and numerous to be injected individually. Instead, an oral nanovaccine was created to stop the spread of a virus. Shai Ufaz, chief executive officer of ViAqua, which developed the technology, said, "This is shockingly great coffee." No, he didn't say that. What is that? Oh, I'm sorry. There was a commercial in there, and I read it like it was part of the story. You got to laugh. Come on. There's so many commercials in these stories now. You can't tell one line of text for the next. Or he said, or that was kind of funny. This is shockingly great coffee. Okay. Oral delivery is the holy grail of aquaculture health development due to both the impossibility of vaccinating individual shrimp and its ability to substantially bring down the operational costs of disease management. See, disease management. Ha ha ha. While improving outcomes. That's Yale for you. Here, an inhalable platform for messenger RNA, mRNA, therapeutics would enable minimally invasive and lung-targeted delivery for a host of pulmonary diseases. Hell, any disease will go through the lungs to get. Development of lung-targeted mRNA therapeutics has been limited by poor transfection efficiency and risk of vehicle-induced pathology. What the hell does that mean?
The vehicle meaning the delivery platform?
Must be the vector. The vector.
Yeah.
Here we report an inhalable polymer-based vehicle, yes, the actual product itself, for delivery of therapeutic mRNAs to the lung. We optimized biodegradable polyamine coester polyplexes, nanoparticles, for mRNA delivery using end group modifications and polyethylene glycol. There we are again. These polyplexes achieved high transfection of mRNA throughout the lung, particularly in the epithelial and antigen presenting cells. All right, enough. You get the idea. They're gonna dose everyone, whether the people even know it or not. You're just gonna do it.
That's what they're doing now. I mean, there's no oversight. There's no quality control. There's just free reign. We had a inhalable form of insulin a few years back.
I believe so.
And that one's taken off the market because it was messing up people's lungs.
Right. Okay. I am not a fan of late night TV. I don't have TV. All I have are some DVDs. But I used to watch Johnny Carson, Letterman, back in the golden age. It's just trash now. It's garbage. And Kimmel is one of the, if not the worst. And this other guy, Jimmy Fallon. These people don't have a funny cell in their bodies. They don't. The audience is idiotic in how it laughs at nothing. Nothing funny. At any rate, Kimmel was a vax hustler. Get your shot. Get your shot. And a nurse did get the shot on his urging and was hideously vax injured. And she wrote a letter to Kimmel.
This is the same nurse, for the record, that we played, was it the other night or was it Monday?
Monday.
Nurse Lindsay.
Nurse Lindsay, whose life is destroyed. That's the one we put the pictures up and you saw she had a real nice-looking young lady, and then next pictures, no hair, looked horrible, face bloated, just awful. All right, tell us the rest of the story on this.
Well, she's deteriorating. Is it her or her friend?
Her friend is going before her. That's the heart
problem.
Yeah,
the friend has developed transverse myelitis and now heart failure. I think this Lindsay has POTS, MCAS, the usual list of ailments that seem to characterize these injuries.
So she wrote a letter to Kimmel thanking him. And
this all took place on Twitter. This Jimmy right. Kimmel put out a statement. You've got it there. Do you want to read it or should I read it? It's very brief.
I don't have it.
It's in the readers.
Oh, let me pull those up. By the way, Kimmel used to be, a lot of people don't know this, not that it makes a damn bit of difference, but he was an L.A. disc jockey who got very lucky. Of course, if you're in that special group, you get lucky. They make luck happen. So that's Jimmy Kimmel, the now bearded Jimmy Kimmel, I guess. Let me find this here real quick. There it is. Okay, so where would Kimmel's letter be?
Jimmy.
Got it. Okay, there it is. And it'd be the first one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Las Vegas, that one?
Yep.
Well, Las Vegas, says Jimmy Kimmel, I got COVID, and sadly, we need to cancel this weekend's Strike Force 3 show. I could never live with myself if I got my hometown friends sick. Thanks to all who purchased tickets, everyone will get full refunds, and we will try to reschedule if possible. And that the coerced nurse comes back with quite a salvo. Go ahead.
She says in response, well, be happy you didn't get transverse myelitis from taking a shot your employer cornered you into. I was a newlywed hospice nurse, a 20-year career RN, who held the hand of the dying while lockdowns only allowed loved ones to look in through a window. I took a shot to preserve a career I loved, and benefits for my special needs children and new husband. That same shot caused my body to eat away at the coating of my spinal cord. I sure as hell don't remember being told that was a possible adverse event because Pfizer purposely covered it up. Now I am completely disabled, and 2 years later found out my heart is failing. My kids, husband, and family get to watch me slowly wither away.
Now, she's written this to Kimmel. Just keep that in mind. This is her response to him. Thanks.
My kids, husband, and family get to watch me slowly wither away. There are hundreds of thousands, just like myself, who are in financial ruins, sometimes unable to afford the essentials. I will most likely die early, leaving nothing for my young family, and they will wonder what in the hell happened to their mama. We are real, and there are hundreds of thousands of us. You had many laughs, stating those who were not vaccinated deserved awful things. Well, Jimmy Kimmel Live, I got my shots, and they are killing me. Medically proven. Who's coming to rescue me? Can I count on you to send me a large sum of money, since I did what you wanted us to do, and it didn't work out so well for me? Nobody's coming to our rescue. We are left out here to die a slow and painful death while you follow the narrative and ignore us like we are lepers in the shadows. Understand what you peddled has had horrific consequences, and until you stand up and help people like myself out, stop pushing a shot that has maimed and murdered. Unlike you, I will wish you good health, because nobody deserves the hell I live with and my small children watch every day. And
she follows up with another one. It's a short little, I guess, second message. Are you choosing to ignore what I'm telling you, like all legacy media does? Why does my life not matter to you? Just an update. I have to go into an operating room next week under emergent circumstances because my heart tests showed I had 30,000 events over 30 days. 30,000 heart events over 30 days. 1,000 a day. Can you imagine going, Jimmy, from healthy and active to struggling to breathe and now working on my heart? Let us not forget the paralyzing, literally, effects of the transverse myelitis. I am not alone in that we have hundreds of thousands just like myself, Jimmy Kimmel. People listen to you, and this is some of the fallout. Why do you choose to ignore us? So he didn't answer her, obviously. There's evil everywhere, dear friends. Evil. There really is evil, and you're seeing it everywhere. So, yeah, they get out and make fun. Ha-ha, laugh at the unvaxxed. Yeah, real cute.
Oh, they were ruthless. They were utterly ruthless.
Yeah. It's scum. I hope they all get shit on and have to deal with it themselves. Just awful. All right. We've got a big group here. What would you like to do? Cancer is exploding in the UK.
Another post. This is from a, I think he's a skin doctor in the UK. Let's see.
I see it. Professor of oncology. Okay.
Yep, got it.
Go ahead.
Okay. Professor of oncology at St. George's Hospital Medical School, London. Quote, at the end of last year, I reported that I was seeing melanoma patients who had been stable for years and who relapsed after their first booster, that is their third injection. I was told it was merely a coincidence and to keep quiet about it, but it has become impossible to do so. The number of my patients affected has been rising ever since. I saw two more cases of cancer relapse post-booster vaccination in my patients just this last week. Other oncologists have contacted me from all over the world, including from Australia and the U.S. The consensus is that it is no longer confined to melanoma, but that increased incidence of lymphomas, leukemias, and kidney cancers is being seen after booster injections. Additionally, my colorectal cancer colleagues report an epidemic of explosive cancers, those presenting with multiple metastatic spread in the liver and elsewhere. All these cancers are occurring, with very few exceptions, in patients who have been forced to have a COVID booster, whether they were keen or not, for many so they could travel. So why are these cancers occurring? T-cell suppression was my first likely explanation, given that immunotherapy is so effective in these cancers. However, we must also now consider DNA plasmid and SV40 integration in promoting cancer development, a feature made even more concerning by reports that mRNA spike protein binds P53 and other cancer suppressor genes. It is very clear and very frightening that these vaccines have several elements to cause a perfect storm in cancer development in those patients lucky enough to have avoided heart attacks, clots, strokes, autoimmune diseases, and other common adverse reactions to the COVID vaccines. To advise booster vaccines, as is the current case, is no more and no less than medical incompetence. To continue to do so with the above information is medical negligence, which can carry a custodial sentence. No ifs or buts any longer. All mRNA vaccines must be halted and banned now. Angus Dalgleish.
So there you go. That's another emphasis on the explosion of turbo cancers. Now, I think many of these turbo cancers are probably showing up after at least the first booster in many people. They've had two, three shots. It's not usually something. I don't know. I just would have to guess. But the point is, it's almost as if whoever built this weapon had plugged in so many different ways for it to cause hell and wreak havoc in the body, that if that didn't kill you, you were destined to end up with turbo cancer somewhere, somehow, because the spike takes the P53 out of the game, and the other cancer genes that help suppress tumors, they're taken out of the game. You're immunologically naked. You've got no defense. So these cancers get loose, and I think they knew this. I just feel like this was, like I made the analogy the other night, that in baseball, the fourth batter is called the cleanup hitter. And I think this is the cleanup hitter for this whole COVID depopulation. It's going to take people out.
I don't know any other way to look at it at this point.
It's kind of like, well, you skated around it for a couple of years, but it's your time, and this P53 destruction and the other natural body defenses against cancer tumors and so forth are gone, and you're done. You're going to get it. And it's sad to say, we take no pleasure in any of this. This is not easy work to do because it's so damned awful and horrible.
Well, the exasperating thing is, you know, seeing the number of people lining up for this next shot.
150 at one Rite Aid store today. Today. And we don't know what this new shot does, and they are insistent upon calling it a new vaccine, a successor vaccine, which I don't buy for a second. It's another tweaked booster.
You know, I think the shedding could be guaranteed to be worse, not necessarily because they put something in it to make it worse, but the fact that now the people who are getting these things have been injected probably 3, 4, 5 times maybe by now. So their immune systems are just, they're not going to fight this thing.
No.
So this thing is going to go in there. Their cells won't even recognize it as foreign at this point, and they will begin to produce a foreign protein, maybe proteins, in copious amounts. And I don't know. Are they going to be able to neutralize them with antibodies? Do they have any immune capacity left to do that?
Highly doubtful. They're done. This is AIDS. VAIDS. They're done. They don't have it. How are you going to go in and rebuild the immune system in a human body?
And even if this was not a toxic protein, but the spike is, and even the fragments of the spike, it seems like the smaller the fragments, the more toxic they are.
Can you extrapolate on that just a little? This is important. You don't have to get the whole spike, okay? That's why transmission of it is so easy. A fragment of it is all you need.
Yeah, depending on what that fragment is. I mean, they've put these little pieces in there, these peptides that, you know, one is that GP120 from the HIV virus. Then we've got a rabies glycoprotein in there. Then we have venom-like sequences. Then we have, gosh, what else is there?
Plenty.
The ones that bind to endotoxins, meaning, you know, bacterial pieces that really jack up the immune response. I mean, that can alone can cause sepsis or a cytokine storm.
Right.
So some of these fragments are worse than the whole thing. And that's why I wonder, you know, when you take things to break down the spike, is that necessarily a good thing? What are you breaking it into?
That's a very important point, and I don't know where to go with it.
I don't think anybody's confirmed that when I don't want to scare anybody off taking these things because at least symptomatically they do help. But we don't know what fragments are resulting from the breakdown of the spike.
In other words, if you take a supplement, not going to name any names, and that supplement goes into the body and begins to break down the connection between the spike and whatever it's bound up to, ACE2, whatever, fat cells. We did read recently that the spike can actually bind to fat cells in the human body. So if you kick it loose, you're turning it loose back into the blood, maybe not in its whole form, but what Eric is saying, in pieces. So we don't know. Are these supplements actually, in some cases, maybe making things worse? These are all almost imponderably wicked, evil questions.
Well, the biggest concern would be these, you know, these amyloidogenic sequences that are exposed when the spike protein is cleaved by the enzyme in your body known as neutrophil elastase. And it reveals, you know, the sequences, the amino acid peptides that can cause the protein misfolding.
Imagine the spike has seven AK-47s inside of it. When it's cleaved or broken open, those AKs are now, or ARs, are on the outside, and they're ready to do major damage to the body, and they do. So
yeah, protein misfolding is really an insidious process, and it's silent until enough of it accumulates to cause some kind of dysfunction.
Right. All right, we're running late. We got to say goodnight. Thank you. Excellent job,
okay,
as always.
All right. All right, my pleasure, Jeff. Have a good weekend, everyone.
We'll be right back with another hour. Stay right with us.